Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. So, so good. And I will, yeah, welcome if I've not had a chance to say it. Welcome if you're here for the first time. It's great to have new people with us. It's great that Maria's husband, Sheikh, has just landed last night from India and is in church this morning. So welcome, brother. It's fantastic to have you here. Looking forward to getting to know you more, my friend. Good. Well, praise God. Where is God leading us as a church? Well, good places, I hope. Amen. So that's certainly what I believe is in his heart. And we've called today Vision Sunday. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the last year or so, what God's been saying and doing and where we feel we're heading. And so it's a bit different today. If you are here for the first time, you know, this will be a little different to normal, obviously, when we're preaching a message and or a series or a study. But today, really, I just want to try and share heart, vision, and just trust God that he would be able to communicate that to us. Just want to say to us, friends, we have a great problem on our hands right now with what God is doing, and that is that church is growing, praise God. And I'm so blessed by that. You know, when you have, God just said to me this morning, you know, never forget, as I was talking to God about today and sharing today, I felt like God just saying to me, never forget the reason, the cause for why you're needing to have this conversation. We need to celebrate that God is saving and adding to his church. Amen. So why don't we just say thank you to Jesus right now for what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise God. Now, church is growing, and that is you know, such a good thing. And in the last year or so, I think that seems to have accelerated. And the reality of the situation is there's only so many people you can fit in one room. And so we're starting to really max out the space that we have, and it can be tight, and space can be a little bit of a premium. I was saying to some of our brilliant team of volunteers last week that I was speaking to someone last week. I was trying to think now whether it's Suja or Ansi was telling me, we were talking about when their family were coming, and she said, oh, you will have room for my husband and children when they come, won't you? So I said, yes, we will, praise God. But I'm expecting church to continue to grow, and we've been praying now about what do we do, God, where do we go, and spent time reading, researching. You know, you can kind of knee-jerk responses, you can make stuff, decisions in haste, but that's not wise, you know. So you're trying to hear what God is saying in the midst of it all. And so that's really been best part of 9 to 12 months of a journey of just kind of, and as we've gone along, God's shaped things, defined things, cleared things up, helped us to understand a little bit more. But do you know that common research suggests this, that when you have 30% floor space or seating space free, you are full. And you need to make plans for the future. And when I read that, I was like, oh, God, we've bust that one pretty badly. There's definitely not 30% left here. And so what do you do? Friends, the bottom line has to be, we want to see people saved and added to the church. It has to be that we want to see people come into Christ. And so what do you do when you want to see people saved and added, but you're running out of space? Well, church is a blessing, growth is a blessing, but there's a real sense in our spirit, we need to, God, how do we steward this growth? God, how do we, how do we handle this rightly, what you're entrusting us with and the people you're entrusting us with? And I'll talk to you later on that I have no desire to build like this big mega impersonal church. And so you're inquiring of God, what do we do? Last March, 2019, I was given a prophetic word by someone about church and the future of church, and I'm going to share that with you later on. Last year, I felt God, in June 2019, I felt God speak to me as clear as I would say, friends, I can only say this, as clear as I felt I've ever heard God speak. And that's so important, and I'll hang my hat on, because the most important thing is, what is God saying? That has to be the bottom line. You know, we all have preference, and I understand that. But, you know, I was saying to God this morning, you know, the Bible says, let's hear, you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Look, I don't want to just hear what my preference is saying. I'm talking about, so I don't just hear what, you know, I want to hear, God, what are you saying? What do you want? And so last June, I felt God gave me this work and this phrase. And off the back of this phrase, it's not always happened like this in my life. I don't want you to think it's always this wonderfully glorious in my prayer times. It's like there's a word, there's a scripture, and it's just like Daryl's floating around, you know, having these glory times. There's plenty where I fall asleep and wake up and think, oh no, what's happened there? But God really spoke to me, and God said to me this. He said, Daryl, it's time to push the envelope. Right now, this was the word that I felt God saying, push the envelope. And I'm going to talk to you about what that means. And off the back of that, God gave me a scripture, which I'm going to share with you as well. But I just want to just put a disclaimer out there, which is simply this. This is so important for me. The only future I and our leadership team want to lead people into is the one that God intends for us, the one that God is creating for us. And so having been praying about that and talking about that, I want to share a bit about what God's saying, what that means, how we move towards that future, and what some of the changes we're going to need to make to help us to make that journey. So last June, God says to me, it's time to push the envelope. And I said, well, that's nice, God. I've heard that phrase before, but I ain't got a clue what it means. It's time to push the envelope. So I looked up the definition, and this is what it said. This expression was originally aviation slang, and related to graphs of aerodynamic performance on which the envelope is the boundary line representing an aircraft's capabilities. A plane's envelope was the limit of its performance. Test pilots would need to push the edge of the envelope to see what the plane could and could not do. So we get this impression you've got to go beyond what you know to see what is possible. Does that make sense? Yeah? So I'm getting a bit excited now when God's speaking this word to me. To push the envelope, you have to stretch the limits. You have to go further than anyone or any group has done before, perhaps doing something that previously wasn't thought possible. Approach or extend the limits of what is possible. See how far you can go with something. Expand on, exceed, or test the limits of the established norm or standard. To exceed or to try to exceed the existing limits. To go beyond the usual or normal limits by doing something new, dangerous, etc. Now, I was doing pretty good, wasn't I, until we got to the dangerous bit, and then you're thinking, oh boy. But friends, I was really excited in my spirit when God gave me this word. God was like saying, like, you need to go beyond the limits. You need to push beyond what you see right now because I want to do something more. Now, as God's speaking this to me, this is one of few times in my life that God just speaks to me and says to me, Isaiah 54. And so I flick straight across to Isaiah 54 and I read these words. And I want to read it because I started reading it in all different versions. The NIV, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Message version, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out and think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. Now listen to this. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Praise God. The Amplified Version says this. Enlarge the site of your tent. Make room for more children. I believe that's both spiritual children, people who are going to get saved, and literal children. That's not a prophetic word over lots of you falling pregnant. I don't know, the one or two that word might have even broken out over already, I don't know, but stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, do not spare them. Lengthen your tent ropes and make your pegs or stakes firm in the ground. The New Living Translation, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. So, whoa, God, okay, make room for the growing family. Push the envelope. 3 months before that, on March the 19th, 2019, this was the word I was sent from someone who I know and trust and believe walks with God. It said this, I've been having these dreams with very specific things to do with church and the growth of church. This was emailed to me. There was a huge salt shaker over the King's Center. The King's Center is going to be like salt, a place where people come back for more of Jesus because they're so throaty for him. Two, we were in a room twice, maybe three times the size, with auditorium-style seating. We'd filled the room twice, getting ready for a second service, and there were still 60 people left over needing seats. Three, I had another dream, and it was really frantic. Loads of children, we didn't know where to put them all. I wanted to share this with you because they keep coming to the forefront of my mind and they won't go away. So from March to June, you begin to see how you get this sense that I'm feeling like, God, you're saying something. You're saying something. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying I believe God wants us to push the envelope. And I'm going to try and explain to you what that means. And I'll just let you know something now that you might go, huh? But we need to expand beyond what we have. We need to enlarge our house. And the reason and the purpose for that, we need to make room, elbow room, for our growing family. For more children, spiritual and literal. Do you know it's proven in research that according to kind of research in Western culture, outside of a revival environment, people want to feel comfortable in a room. So what that means is really this, that you kind of grow to a certain size, you go, well, this is quite comfortable, and then you settle. But you know, if God wants us to have adventures of faith, and if God wants us to reach people with the gospel, we don't want to just settle. You know, we want to create faith and vision. And so I'm not about to tell you I've got the keys to a new building. But I am about to say to you this, friends, I believe according to what God has said, I don't feel this place will be our forever home. Okay. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We are actively looking and praying as leadership and trustees and talking about this. For God, is there a new building? Is there a plot of land? Is there a right place where you want us to be? I said to someone the other day, wherever it is, and I've said this to God, God, I don't want to be hidden. I don't want that plot of land that says you turn left by Sainsbury's, right by Screwfix, left opposite Howden's, down that right, and we're up in the corner. You know, and everyone goes, who, what, where? No, God, because this is God has blessed us. God definitely brought us here. It's absolutely key wherever we go that God is definitely leading us there. And so God definitely brought us this house. And do you know what? God has been good for his promises and he's been fulfilling what he said he was going to do. And so we want to be where he wants us to be. And so we're praying about that. And I'm asking you, will you please pray with us? And will you pray for us for that wisdom? And listen, if God is in it, I'm not going to sweat about it. Because if God is in this and God has got the right place, the right time, everything, because he's God and he's in control. And so I'm not feeling hassled or harried, but you know, we're wanting to just ask God, well, help us. And so a growing family, the reality is, needs more space. And that was the essence of the word and the scripture that God gave me. And you know, and so I'm going to talk to you a bit later on about that. But a couple of things. Tony Miller said this: the number one reason people come to church, if you can pop this quote up, please, Beth. The number one reason people come to church is they were invited by a person and not an ad. Live conscious of who is around you. You may need a friend live conscious of who around you may need a friend to invite them to experience potential life change. So God, we want somewhere where we can be living consciously of those who are around us, who we can invite them to experience potential life change. Now, let me be clear about what I'm not saying. I'm definitely not saying that I want to build mega church. I really want to just talk from my heart. I have no desire to build a big impersonal type of church. In fact, even as church has grown now, we're learning lessons along the way. And there are things that actually I believe part of why God might be holding back is there are certain things that need to even change and adapt now to get certain things structurally right to be ready for this. And I'll talk to you about that, lessons that I've learned and we've learned along the way. But I don't want to kind of something that becomes more like entertainment than family. God has given us a clear mandate to be a family church, a church of all ages. I don't want theatre. I don't want entertainment. And so we need the wisdom of God. And God, well, how big does it go before it gets beyond family? You know? I'll talk a bit about that in a moment. But someone I know just up the road from here left their small church just recently for a very big city church with big, big numbers. And I won't mention, I'm not saying it's a bad church or anything like this. They just returned after 6 months because they said every week for 6 months they were asked, is today your first time and are you new? Right, and that's just the reality of that particular situation. I don't want it to be like that. There's a quote, it's getting a little out of order when this quote was going to come, but Jared Cooper says this. He says, people are not just looking for a friendly church, but a church where they can make friends. So it's not just about the smile at the door. It's relationally the something we need to retain. to be able to continue to stay true to the call that God has given us. I want to stay true to what God has said to us to be. And so, you know, my brother's part of a big church, been going for about 18 months, 2 years maybe now. And I said to him, have you got to know people? No, I don't know anyone. I just sit and I just leave. And I'm like, no, God, I don't want that. I don't want that. And you have to know what's right for you. So the mandate is to build family church. And I just believe in my heart, as I've prayed, and friends, we have had all options on the table. We've prayed about it. I've began to take myself down a road, and you sort of think, well, maybe this is the logical way to go. And then God's like, well, have you got peace about that? Is that what I'm saying to you? Is that according to the word that I've given you? And you're like, no, God. And God brings me back to what he said and what he's put in my heart. And I still believe we're in a season at the moment where we are meant to grow as one family. I don't feel that it's time yet for us to split the family. And that means I don't feel that we're yet in a place where we're going to do multiple services or plant a different church. And At one point I thought, well, that's what we'll have to do. And I started asking about it and speaking about it. And God's like, well, is that what I said to you? No, God, I need to come back to what you said to me. So we've been praying through all these options. I just don't feel it's right. I feel it's fraught with challenges, separation. I've had proposals put to me about, you know, you can consider a different type of service, one where you don't have children's work and one where you do. But God, that's not what you called us to be. I don't want a service where we've got no children at all. We're family of all ages. You know, and we have different types. No, God, no peace in that. I don't feel right. Nor do I feel that I would like to kind of, you know, yeah, you have to live conscious as well of teams and, you know, burnout and all this kind of stuff. And now this will come at some point. I don't feel it's not a question if, but when. And it's knowing when God's saying is now. And I just don't feel yet it's time for us to split. But we do need to stay true to what our calling is. And Isaiah 54, and I alluded to this a moment ago, talks about the need to strengthen stakes. You read there in Isaiah 54. There are some areas where we need to strengthen as a church to be ready to be moved on to the next season of what God is calling us to. And so this year, I think, if I'm being honest, you know, when I launched the whole semester system of 3 months in small groups and 3 months in church, a little way in, what I quickly learned was, God, if church is going to grow, small groups are invaluable. And so that's why this year we only done the 1 month in, because more than ever we're going to be spending time in our small groups midweek. We need that personal connection, that pastoring people. I don't want to become so missional that I'm not relational, right? That it's just all about there and I forget you lot, you know? But neither do I want to become so relational that we're not missional. We can't forget the Great Commission. And so we want to be both relational and missional. We want to look after people well. We want to see more people saved and added to the kingdom. And so there's some strengthening of the stakes that we need to do, that we need to get better in that. Because even now I find it a challenge. And, you know, we've gone beyond the 200 barrier now. You know, Stephen, that can be a challenge on a Sunday morning, trying to talk, connect and stuff. So there are areas where we need to work to strengthen our stakes. So I don't want you to feel like, oh, my life, I'm going to become like a small fish in a very big pond. I just don't want that. I don't want that. It's not my heart. And so we're going to look to launch more groups and things this year. And I know we have different preferences. I'm just talking heart, friends. This is not a beautifully structured preach today, but not that it always is a beautifully structured preach, but you know, I know we have different kind of preferences and slants. And I said to Claire the other day, I said, this is the first time as a leader I've felt like, you know, things in the last 3 years have been, you know, changing and moving forward. But it's the first time you sort of feel like you're about to stick your head up above a parapet and go, I think we're going that way, you know, kind of thing. And you kind of get that sense of like, I know that some people are like, oh, I don't know if it's right or whatever. And I was joking from the guy at one event who I take, you know, great comfort from the story of Moses. Because he said that when Moses led them through the Red Sea, they were all like, go, Moses, go. Go, Moses, go. And then he changed a couple of things, and they were like, kill him, kill him. And so it's like the last 3 years have been all right, Daryl, but now what you're saying, you know. So it's kind of, you know, But my heart is honestly only to lead us towards the future God intends for us. And I said that earlier on. So what is God saying to us? Romans 4 verse 19 has really helped me. He, Abraham, did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Now listen to this. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. Okay? But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Where did Abraham find his peace, his direction, his faith, his motivation, you know, his assurance when he got the word of God for the situation? He was strengthened according, or he didn't waver because he had a word from God. I can only say to you, and I know I could be wrong, but I believe God, I believe God spoke to me. And in that, that's where I find my sense of direction and peace and assurance. And that word has been given and weighed by others. No one's come back to me and said, that's not a word from God. But so you kind of, you're hanging your hat on, what is God saying? What is God saying? And that gives you that strength to sort of push forward and kind of take things forward. And so I feel like in any given situation, you have to know, if you want to know what to do, you have to pray, God, what are you saying here? And then I stand on the word. I've known what it is to stand in front of someone and think, I know what I want, but God, what are you saying? Because sometimes what I want and what God is saying can be quite different. Or sometimes accepting that God is saying something different can be challenging. I've known what it is to pray for something. I know I have, but I haven't had that word. I know what it is to walk in a situation and God has given me a word. And don't you just know that when you've got that word in your heart, it's like, I feel like I've got faith and direction and something to stand on. You know, Peter walked, you know, everyone says Peter walked on the water. That's not entirely correct. Peter walked on the word. Because when he said to Jesus, Jesus, if I ask you, tell me to come, what did Jesus say? Come. He walked on that word that caused him to walk on the water. So it was walking on the word that helped him do something that was impossible. And so it's what is God saying? And so, yeah, praise God. So in many situations, we almost need to back up, and you can apply this into your own life and ask God, what are you saying? Not just what I want, but God, what are you saying? So God has said to us, family. God has said to us, growing family. At what size does this stop becoming family? At what size does one family grow too big? At what size do you need to multiply and plant? There is a prophetic word, God's word, that's been spoken over us more than once that we would be a church of 500. Now, over the last 7 months, that word has kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back, and it's been burning in my heart. And it's so much so, so strongly so, that it's almost like, it is like that the minute we saw 501, we'd have to split, divide, or plant. I feel so strongly about that. Now, you think 500, gosh, is that big? I think that God is teaching us, if we strengthen stakes, we can do this. We can do it, and we can do it well if we follow God's mandate. I love how God works, because this week I was at a conference in Southampton, and a School of Ministries conference with Peter Butt, and myself and Claire and Martin and Wendy were together. And we just booked in for it, didn't have any other agenda than to go because we support School of Ministries as a church, just to listen to what God might be saying. We walked in, and as we walked into this building, it was like we all looked around, and then we all looked at each other, and we was like, I think it looks like this. Because there was an intimacy in this building that had this number of chairs that as I stood there, I was like, wow, this is like more intimate. In fact, I would argue even more intimate than what we have here. When you're at the back and looking at hundreds of heads in front of you, it doesn't feel that intimate and connected. And I looked at this, I was like, wow, this doesn't feel too big. In fact, I would argue I can see more people in this church as we stood there and stood at the sides than I can necessarily here, or you can from the back looking here. You know, someone was just saying to me even last night, you know, sometimes when the person at the front is preaching, they're doing that in their seat, you know, to try and see them. And we stood there, and I wish I could take you all there and to see it. And I'm not saying we're going to carbon copy this, but I felt like God was just, it was a moment that we were meant to be there on the Wednesday before we were here. I can't explain it other than that. Just felt like it was God. And I said to the guy there, I said, oh, how many does this hold? And he said, 900. I was like, what, 900? Like, I'm not even, you know, thinking just over half that. And yet, it felt so intimate. Can I just show you a couple of pictures of the type of thing? Just, it's kind of helped. So that was the floor space that took like 100 people. You see the seats at the side? Just like that. It was kind of like that. Only like 10 rows at the side. So it wasn't like you was miles back, you know, worshipping all the way up there at like some little ants on the stage, you know, like leading you in worship. But it just kind of thing, just to try and help. I just thought something visual might help you understand. Now, at the start of the year, we were praying. God, you're speaking. God, you're saying stuff. What do we do? And I felt God say to me this: the issue is now, but the provision is not yet. The issue is now, but the provision is not yet. And the sense was this: there is a right building and a right place that will come at a right moment. And I tried some doors in my own energy and strength, and God shut them all in my face. And that's okay, because he's God. I looked at, you know, hiring venues and things like that. I said to you earlier on, I don't want to be hidden away. So it's like the issue is now, but the provision is not yet. So what you have to say then in your heart, you have to say, God, right. So if there's a moment when this is going to come to pass, but I don't know exactly what it is, but yet we've got some stuff now that we need to do better and change and steward the growth that we're experiencing, what do we need to do? And so there are some changes that we want to make in church. I'll just get practical now for the last kind of 10 or 15 minutes. There's just some practical changes that we want to make in church that are going to help us to still be able to grow in this period while we trust and pray and ask God for the way forward. And so from kind of April on Sunday mornings, not a specific date to give to you yet because there's some work that's going to be done behind the scenes, some practical work. There are some changes we'd like to make to help us to steward the growth well and just continue to grow. I think by my calculations that at a current rate of growth, in the last year, looking at where we're currently at, I think on average we're about 30 to 40 people more every week, which is wonderful. And I thank God for that. And our children's work has swelled. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, it might buy us a year. It might buy us a bit longer. It might be in a month's time God shows us something. It might be in 11 months and 27 days or something. You know, I don't know. But God will work it out. So it's all good. Praise God. Where was I? So some changes the way we slightly structure our times on a Sunday morning, and some changes with our use of rooms in the building and the way we do things. I'm open to discussion. I'm happy to chat with people. I'm sure you will understand, and I say this lovingly, whilst I can weigh everyone's opinions, I can't count every single one and do everything that everyone says, but I don't want to be unapproachable. I don't want to be that sort of just like, well, it's tough, I'm not listening. So you may have great ideas and we want to hear them, we want to listen to them. I'm just sharing with you today what I feel God is saying in the sense of direction that God has given. And I do feel this in my heart. I read a quote once which said, talking about vision, it said about that when you feel you're having, you know, no one rallies, it says something like this, no one rallies to an uncertain trumpet. And so what I've been saying in this last year is like, God, I don't want to stand at the front and sort of go, right, well, we need to do something. I think it's just, you know, like kind of like, and everyone's like, well, is it or not? You know, you want to be able to sort of stand and go, you know, and then people kind of like, oh, I hear the call and I understand. And so I feel that God's kind of perhaps strengthened the trumpet call a little bit in this last year. And so let's talk about these changes. And I know change comes easy for some and harder for others, but part of being, you know, the responsibility that God has given us. So some of our Sunday times are going to change a little. I'll flash them up to you, and I just want to explain why they're changing and what that means, because you might have questions immediately that come to mind as you see this. And so you'll notice our first service is actually going to cut back by 15 minutes, and communion will now come to around 10 o'clock. I say around 10 o'clock because the reality is communion doesn't actually take very long to do communion. So it might not be bang on 10, it might be like 5 past or 10 past. It really doesn't take long to physically take communion actually at all. But we want that opportunity for people to be able to have that worship time and still have communion. That's going to actually cut back by 15 minutes, partly because I felt that we needed to extend our refreshments time, because people say, well, that's not very spiritual. I disagree. I feel it is. I feel it's important that we have that fellowship and that connection with one another. I find 30 minutes goes extremely quick in that interim break. I get chatting to one or two people, miss loads of people I don't get to chat to. Say to my wife, oh, I didn't see so-and-so today. She says, they were there. Oh, you know, like, so I want us to be able to welcome, mix, mingle. It's not in my notes, but Glenn Barrett once said this. He said, people come to your church, you think that they're testing your preaching. He says, as they walk in, you think, are they testing your preaching? What's the atmosphere of preaching like? What's the atmosphere of worship like? You know, he said, no. He said, I'll tell you the first thing they're testing when they come into church, the atmosphere of the welcome. How warm and loving and friendly it feels. So that is an important thing for me. But it's not at the expense, I don't want it to be at the expense of the presence of God. And so I'll talk to you about that in a moment. So we're going to extend that time, and then our family worship time, church is officially going to start at 11, but our family worship time is going to extend by 5 minutes, and that's no more countdowns, but at 5 to 11, that will mark the beginning of a slightly extended family worship. When I was in India, friends, the culture of worship that is in their children is a beautiful thing. And when you talk to them about it in the church that I was with there, that doesn't happen overnight, but they built in that value as part of them as a church to make time and to, you know, help and encourage and engage. And talking to Bridget about this and Silla about this, I know they're for this. And so, you know, we love an action song, but we also want to help our children. Well, how do you respond in a slower song, say, for example, or feel the presence of God, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So we're going to have that extended time of family worship, and then at 11:05 we will welcome. And you'll notice that children are now going to head out to their groups, apart from Ignite Plus, who are going out after worship. Presence of God is so important. And so that first service is not going to be filled with like a 10-15 minute preach that's going to eat all the time up. We've said we're committing, it's going to be a short word, may even only now just be a word just before communion. But we're going to allow that time to kind of, and we're going to start sharply on time at 9:30, because sometimes I waffle or sometimes I miss the start, but we're going to start on time with that. I hope this is okay. I know I'm moving through at speed a little, but I'm a bit conscious about time. If I'm going to get all this through today. Okay. And so, where was I? Sorry. Our children are now going out 15 minutes earlier than normal, okay? In a lot of churches, children go straight out at the beginning, but I didn't want to create that separation if our call is family. So we want some time to retain together. I also understand that, I don't know if your children are like mine, but Jake can't wait to get out to his group, if I'm being honest. Just wants to get out to his group, and so he's not looking to hang around for ages. He's usually saying to me, when's the screen coming up? When's the screen coming up? How long till the screen's coming up? Like that. So I think actually for our children, I think they'll be infused by the idea of being able to spend longer in their groups. And it now frees our creche and children's team to do a bit more in those groups and explore different things. If they want to extend worship times or they want to do it, that's entirely up to them according to what they feel God is saying. But people will arrive in an atmosphere of worship. Now, part of this change, I don't know if you noticed this, but 11 a.m. church is packed. By the time I stand to preach, there's loads of spaces. Do you know why? Because we've got so many children. And that's such a blessing. It's fantastic. Andy was telling me that the Diocese of London done some research across all their churches in London. And across all their churches in the Diocese of London, their average number of children was 3. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you that our average number of children under 14 on Sundays right now sits roughly somewhere between 40 to 60 children. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, I've had conversation with other churches locally, and you know, they're saying to me, we've got no children. We need to change this. And God is really blessing us. And so, you know, we need to make space for our children. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second. But, you know, even yesterday talking with friends and saying actually, you know, like, well, we sort of save seats for our children, but we don't really need to because they going out to their group. And so I guess what we're asking is that we won't be throwing loads of coats and Bibles on lots of additional seats that we don't need. But as we come in, you know, you might take a couple of seats and your children might just stand with you for a moment, but they'll come down, they'll get involved in that. And then 11:05, they'll be able to head out to their groups. And so we don't want sort of loads of rows just taken up with coats, you know, so we just create that space. I hope that makes sense. It's not forever. I don't want our children's team to feel cut off or fried. I talk to them about that. We've got that first worship service as an opportunity to come and worship God and be part of that before they're serving. We're also saying to them, I only want to really see them ideally having to do this once, not like it's a chore, but I don't want to be saying, you know, 3-4 times a month, I'm expecting you to never be able to be in here as well as out there. They love our children. They do a wonderful job. And actually, I don't know sometimes, and I'm being very sincere when I say this, I don't know if I honor them and celebrate them enough. But we are so blessed with a fantastic children's team, you know. And I honour and bless you guys now, not just because it's today, but just because as I've prayed about it, it's all about you realise how very, very blessed we are by such a wonderful team of children's workers. So it is for a purpose. It is for a season. It is for a reason, without trying to sound like I'm rhyming all my words. But to reach more people, yes, both adults and children. The main value question should always be, do we or do we not want to be seeing more people saved and added? I'm going to talk to you about a thing called three in a moment. I want to be relational and missional. I don't want to be one or the other only. We're going to get ready. We're going to strengthen stakes. We're going to find ways to do both, be relational and missional, times to be together. We're looking at that now, praying about that. And so I've spoken to our children's team, and we're moving around some of the rooms to create space for growth in there. In our Spark room in here, that room there, the other week they had 32 children in that room alone. And that begins to feel more like crowd control than necessarily being able to just like this, you know, team are saying, look, we love to connect with the kids, get to know the kids, spend time with the kids. So one of the things we're actually going to do key stages now on a Sunday morning. And so the aim is to see them out there one per month. That means we're looking for people to step up and say, I want to help in creche, and, you know, I want to help in our children's ministry, members who are stepping up and saying, I want to volunteer and help in there. There's the first service where we can worship. And so a quick idea of what this means practically and where we're moving in the building. One, to help us cope with what we're experiencing right now. Two, to create space for growth for our children's work as well, because that's very important to me. And three, to help our children's leaders. Friends, you know my heart, don't you? This is not about wanting to just say to children, you're not important. That really could not be further from the truth for me. I am so thankful for the amount of children we've got. So I want to help them to grow in what they're doing. As I say, I sincerely want to listen to them as well. They're looking forward to getting out there. And in this season, we want to create space for them to grow and for us to grow. And then we'll see what God has in store after that. So our under twos are going to move. Quick whistle stop tour around the building. Our under twos are now going to move to our meet and greet lounge. That will be carpeted. That will have a TV hanging up in there with a live link to the main meeting. All the facilities in there that they can feed our children, feed their children even. So they will be in there in the meet and greet room. Our Bright Sparks creche is moving from here to the lounge. That's a big space that we don't use on Sunday mornings. We're going to help them so they don't have to worry too much about like noise and stuff, to soundproof that a little bit better and move across there, working with Scylla. We're building a toilet into the storeroom for our children only, where they can go. They'll have an on-site toilet, they'll have on-site hands, washing facilities, kitchen areas, drinks, and everything that they can make in there. In some ways, speaking to Scylla, who heads up our creche there, it's going to make life a lot easier for them, which is brilliant. Our children's rooms will then be its existing room and the dining room. We're going to have Key Stage 1 Spark and Key Stage 2. And so we're going to work in smaller groups with our children. I know our team are keen for this, and I think it will benefit our children. You know, if you've got 32 children, you're trying to pitch something at someone who's like 4 or 5 and somebody else who's 11. That's a big old gap, isn't it? You know what I mean? So now we can work within the kind of, here's something really geared and tailored for you guys and geared and tailored for you. So I think that will be a blessing. And Ignite Plus will continue to meet in the well. So there are going to be additional, praise God, the trustees have backed this. There'll be additional carpets that are coming in, some additional large TV screens to go on walls for our children, for our meet and greet, soundproofing, toilets being built in, things being decorated and spruced up. I don't know how many people have noticed there's been some paint going on in here this week? Come on, give me a show of hands. Oh, Rick's been doing a lovely job for us there. Be back again next week. So there's a few things already happening behind the scene. And all I can say to you is this, journey with us, please. Please pray for wisdom and provision. And I'll say this, friends, I love this quote and I stand on this quote and I'll tell you why I love it in a minute. It's William Carey and he says this. He says, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has given us a promise that we're going to need lots of elbow room for our growing family. And I believe that God has given us a promise that we need to enlarge the site of our tent and make room for more children. More people are going to be saved. More people are going to be added, and more children are going to come, and more families are going to come. And I tell you what, yeah, we're going to make a noise for Jesus in this town. Amen. Amen.